reliable than they'd been years before, when I'd fired them at the Rusky powder ships under Fort Rame. One came a sight too close for comfort, though, scudding between the guns and killing a horse. For the first time I saw Theodore scared, and he wasn't a man who frightened easy. He clasped his shield before him and shouted, "What weapons are these? Who can stand against such terrible things?" But it didn't occur to him to leave the summit, although presently he bade the gunners cease fire. "They do not fear my shot," cries he, and began to weep, pacing about the summit and finally taking station on the forward edge to stare, stricken at the final retreat of his army. For it was good as over now, a bare hour and a half after he'd started the fight with his first gun. The plain was thick with dead and dying Abs, the defeated remnant scrambling back over the rocky slopes of Fala and Salesi, turning here and there to fire their futile smoothbores, and scream defiance at the King's Own and Balloch, advancing without haste, picking their targets and reloading without breaking stride. The sun was dipping behind the watery clouds, and then it broke through as the rain died away, sending its beams across the battlefield, and a splendid rainbow appeared far away beyond the Bekello. It was damned eerie, that strange golden twilight, with the rocket trails fizzing their uncertain way over the field to explode on the Fala saddle, and the muffled crack of the mountain battery steel guns, the red blink of their discharges more evident as the dust gathered over Aragi. Messengers had been galloping up since the onset, mostly just a hurrah at first, but now came the news that old Gabri had gone down, and presently it became clear that most of those scarlet-clad cavalry chiefs had fallen with him. Theodore threw his shama over his head, crying bitterly, and sat down against a gun carriage. Now he wouldn't look down at the carnage below, or at the wreck of his army stumbling wearily back over the Fala saddle to Islamgi. But at last he dismissed the gun teams, keeping Samuel and myself and his pages with him. When darkness fell, Ab rescue parties ventured out with torches to find their wounded, whose wails made a dreary chorus in the dark. And Speedy told me later that when our stretcher-bearers, whom Napier had sent out to bring enemy wounded to our field hospital, had encountered Ab-searchers in the dark, they'd worked together without a thought. Our medicos patched up quite a few of Theodore's people, which, as Speedy observed, made you realise how downright foolish war can be. But then, it wasn't really a war, nor Aragi a proper battle. Like Little Bighorn, it was more of a nasty skirmish, and like Bighorn, it had an importance far beyond its size. On the face of it, there wasn't much for the Gazette. No dead on our side, although I believe a couple of our 30 wounded died later, and only 700 Abs killed. I say only, you understand, because when you've seen Pickett's charge and the Sutlej awash with thousands of corpses, Aragi's a flea-bite, provided you ain't one of the 700, that is. For our fellows, it had been a day's shooting, but for the Abs, it was Waterloo. They'd been shot flat, massacred, if you like, by Messrs. Snyder and Enfield, gallant savages decimated by modern weapons. But for once, the Liberals can't sniff piously over that. For even at close quarters, steel against steel, Ab's swords and spears had been no match for Sikh bayonets. For the Abs, it was shameful disaster. And for Theodore, it was fini. For our side, it was something unheard of. A victory without loss at the end of a campaign that had been supposed to end in catastrophe. But Speedy told me there was no joy in our camp, only pity and admiration for a foe who hadn't been good enough, and a perverse irritation that it hadn't been worth all the toil and effort. T. Atkins and J. Sepoy had expected a real battle, an Inkerman or Balaclava or Mudki or Ferosejar, against a foe they could touch their hats to. Aragi had been a sell. The Abs had been no opposition at all. Oh, they'd tried and been a mighty disappointment. That, I can assure you, is what my countrymen felt. Victory had been so easy that they'd felt cheated. Do you wonder that I shake my head over them? It was well after dark before Theodore could rustle up the will to bestir himself. He sat for a good 2 hours like a man stunned, not seeming to hear the cries of the wounded below Fala, or that sudden ghastly scream which told us that the jackals and hyenas were at work. At last, he summoned Samuel and dictated a letter to Rassam, asking him to make his peace with Napier. I can give it exact, for Samuel gave me a copy later, as evidence that he'd done his bit to bring about an answer.